Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those sitting in heavenly places in Yahshua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org, and the reason that I call the name of this program Cross the Border is because, I'm not greater than my master, Yahshua. Some call him Jesus in the West, but he is our Messiah, and I am not greater than he is. When he began his earthly ministry after being anointed, he began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." So I bid all, everyone, everywhere to cross the border into his kingdom, that is the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, whichever way you want to put it, and obtain eternal life. It's only by entering his kingdom and remaining in his kingdom that we can obtain eternal life. If we come to the end of our mortality and we cross the threshold of mortality into the grave, because that's where mortality ends, it ends in the grave. If we are not in his kingdom when that time comes, we will not be in his kingdom forever. So as you can see, this is a very important thing. I don't believe that there is anything more important than our eternal disposition. Now, if you're not in his kingdom now, if you don't endure in his kingdom to the end of your mortality, as the scripture says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. You must endure in his kingdom until the end of your mortality. If you're not in, like I said, if you're not in his kingdom, when you come to the threshold of your mortality and where it drops off into the grave, then you won't be in his kingdom forever. And that'll be a sad day for you, because after that, there is no redemption. Yahshua died for men. He died for living men. And that includes mankind. That includes women and children too. He didn't die for aliens. He didn't die for dead people. He redeemed the living. That's the way it works. This is your chance. The day of salvation is now. That's what it means. Now is your opportunity. Take it while you can. You may never get it again. And you may think, well, later on I can get things right with God. Well, you may not be able to later on. Your heart becomes harder every day. Every day that you turn away from him. And if you turn away one more day, it may be the point of no return for you. I would be very careful. I would be afraid to turn away from our Creator and his offer of redemption through the blood of his Son, Yahshua. Today, we're going to continue our trek through the Scripture. What we do here most of the time is we go through the Scripture, and we go through it book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. And here's where I lose most of my audience, because most people don't have patience enough to go through the entire scripture. Some so-called Christians, they got a few things that they like to focus on, and that's it. And they don't want to see anything else. And, you know, I would say that they have a problem with their life. There's some area of disobedience, something that they don't want to give up to the Heavenly Father, some place that they will not allow the Holy Spirit to work in their life. So each of us need to examine ourselves. We need to open up our minds and our hearts to his Holy Spirit and listen and receive the convicting work of our Heavenly Father's Holy Spirit, so that he can clean us up, so that he can write his law upon our heart. Because if we love breaking his law, we won't allow his law to be written on our heart. If there's something we're holding out on and the Holy Spirit is trying to zero in on it, but we're not allowing it, we're doing what is called blaspheming the Holy Spirit. We're blaspheming the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, and we don't want to go there. We want to continue the work. We want to learn to live a life that is pleasing to our Heavenly Father. So we're going to continue our trek. We've done the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Joshua, and numerous other books. You can go to my website and you can see links there to some of them. You can go to the archives page on the networks and you can see another link there for the archives or podcasts, as they call them nowadays in the more modern era, I guess. you can see links there and you can see some of the studies, some of the topical studies that I've done. And, you can review any of those studies. And I suggest to everyone that you go to my website and you start listening to Genesis and you start at the beginning and start getting it right. And if you find something wrong, I want to challenge everyone everywhere to listen to my studies. If you think I'm in error on something, you get out your e-sword and you point it out to me. That is your duty as my brother in Messiah. That is your duty because you are commanded. We are commanded to love one another. By this, they will know that you are the sons of God, by your love for one another. So if you see me in error, if you see me teaching error, I need you to correct me. You correct me out of the King James Version, the Authorized King James Version, and the Textus Receptus, and you can get a free copy of that, a wonderful tool at e-sword.net. Download the program, and you correct me from that, and I will receive your correction, because I don't want to be out here teaching error. Otherwise, I'm just wasting my time. I might as well go get a job or something in the world and take back up the things of the world that I put off. Because if I'm out here teaching error, then I'm doing more harm than good. So don't want to go there. So listen to my studies. Challenge me if you find some error. And at the same time, you'll be challenging yourself. As I said, we've started at the beginning of the scripture, and we've gone through Exodus, Genesis, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Joshua, and what follows Joshua is Judges. And what happened in the wilderness is Abraham. Oh, Father Abraham, he was acting like a king, you know. He was like the Supreme Court and everything all rolled up into one. And it was just... He was just weary to the bone. It was way too much for one man to handle. And I could imagine how Father Abraham felt. You had millions in the desert following him around, you know, thousands of families, and of course, 12 tribes. And every time someone had a dispute, I mean, the line was getting long outside Abraham's tent. He could hardly do anything else except judge between the people all the time. And his father-in-law, that's right. Abraham had a father-in-law. His father-in-law was called the priest of Midian. And I would take that to mean that his father-in-law was somewhat a godly man who reverenced the Heavenly Father. He must have been quite a man because our Heavenly Father sent Abraham to this man for a wife, number one, and for training, number two, and also to tend sheep. For Jethro, as he's called, the priest of Midian in the desert there. And so he was quite a man. And he saw the burden that was on Abraham. And he said, and he called Abraham and he said, hey, look, this is too much of a burden for you. Here's what you need to do. Well, of course, Father Abraham says, yeah, you know, forget God. Let's do Abraham. Let's do Jethro's plan. No, he didn't say that at all. Abraham took the advice of his father or father-in-law, and he set up a system of judges in Israel. Now, one of the great Bible expositors and translators, when he read the government that was set up for the children of Israel in the wilderness, he said, he exclaimed that Israel, that God had given Israel in the wilderness a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Now, most of you have heard that quote before, and most of you will attribute it to Abraham Lincoln and his famous document. What was the name of that document? The Emancipation Proclamation? But Abraham Lincoln borrowed that phrase from the great Bible translator who exclaimed that when he read about the government that the Heavenly Father gave the children of Israel, and through the wisdom that he gave a man named Jethro, the father-in-law of Abraham. And they instituted that government. And that's why we have this government in Israel in our historical account here in the book of Judges. Of course, this government was instituted at that point in Israel, in the wilderness. They brought that government into the land when they crossed over the Jordan. And here we have a book that's called Judges. And that's where we're going today, to the book of Judges. My good friend Henry, let's see what he has to say about this to get a little historical insight. We have here a further account of that glorious and successful campaign which Judah and Simeon made. The lot of Judah, and they are picking up, of course, from where Joshua, the book of Joshua, leaves off. The lot of Judah was pretty well cleared of the Canaanites, yet not thoroughly. Those that dwelt in the mountains were round about Jerusalem, were driven out, but those in the valley kept their ground against them, having chariots of iron, such as we read of, and he references Joshua 17:16. Here the men of Judah failed, and thereby spoiled the influence which otherwise their example hitherto might have had on the rest of the tribes who followed them in this instance of their cowardice, rather than all the other instances of their courage. They had iron chariots, and therefore it was thought not safe to attack them. But had not Israel God on their side, whose chariots are thousands of angels, before whom these iron chariots would be but as stubble in the fire? Had not God expressly promised by the oracle, and he refers to Judges 1, chapter 1, verse 2, to give them success against the Canaanites in this very expedition without accepting those that had iron chariots? Yet they suffered their fears to prevail against their faith. They could not trust God under any disadvantage, and therefore durst not face the iron chariots, but meanly withdrew their forces when the one bold stroke, with one bold stroke, they might have completed their victories, and it proved of pernicious consequences. They did run well. What hindered them? And so that's just the beginning. So it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them?" And Yahuwah said, "Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." And Judah said unto Simeon his brother, "Come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I likewise will go with thee into thy lot." So Simeon went with him. And of course, we're talking about the tribes. This isn't just one singular brother to take us back to the moment in time. We're talking about the entire tribes. And of course, Simeon, the patriarch, the great patriarch, the father of the tribe, and Judah have long been dead. And these are their descendants, okay, represented by tribes and the heads of the tribes. So whoever was the head of the clan, each clan still had their great patriarch and their head of that clan, or they had some kind of council where the head families would come together, such as the government that our Heavenly Father gave them. And so they agreed together, the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Simeon, to go in together to conquer and drive out the Canaanites in their respective territories so that they could inhabit the land that Yahuwah, the Lord their God, gave them. And Judah went up, in verse 4, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they slew them in Bezek 10,000 men. So you see, if there were 10,000 men, you know, there were an equal number of women and probably more children than that, unless they were practicing their birth control. and their sacrifice, but probably not so much in that day as in today. But perhaps, you never know. It was one of the great sins of the ancient cultures that walked against our Heavenly Father is destroying their children. And I'm sure they did it for all the same reasons that it's being done today. Okay, and they found Adonai Bezek in Bezek, and they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanite and the Perizzites. But Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued after him, and caught him, and cut off his thumbs and his great toes. And Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table, as I have done, so God hath requited me. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. So I guess this was something that Adonai Bezek had done to other kings, and he was getting his just desserts at this time from the words of his own mouth here, as it's recorded. Now, in verse 8, now the children of Judah had fought against Jerusalem and had taken it, and smitten with the edge of the sword, and set the city on fire. And afterward, the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites that dwelt in the mountain, and in the south, and in the valley. And Judah went against the Canaanites that dwelt in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba. And they slew Shishai and Ahiman and Talmai. And from thence he went against the inhabitants of Debir. And the name of Debir before was Kirjath Sefer. Verse 12, and Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksah, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, and he gave him Aksah, his daughter, to wife. Now, what we see demonstrated here is our Heavenly Father's kingdom government for family demonstrated. Caleb was the absolute head of his family. His daughter married whomever he chose for his daughter. They did not practice the idolatry of romantic freedom, and I call it the idolatry of romance. They practice the Ten Commandments, where it says, honor your father and your mother. So we see that demonstrated here, that principle. No romance. They didn't go to public schools like they practice today, and being trained up in the public school system, going and watching all of the romantic movies on TV, if they had TV. They did not listen to the romance of idolatry music on their radios, and those were not the songs they sang, the songs of romantic idolatry, which train all of our children today. You know, perhaps these were the songs, these were the plays, these were the stories of the pagans around them, because they needed to practice the romantic idolatry, the freedom of romance, the freedom, the liberty of romance. And hand in hand with that goes homosexuality. Hand in hand goes with that birth control and abortion, because the freedom extends to freedom from the responsibility that our Heavenly Father gave us, the wonderful communion of a man and woman in marriage for. Okay, here's our break. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border.